Hello again. Do you know, there's nothing quite so rewarding as working together with others towards a common goal. This can be at a high level where collaborative endeavors make a breakthrough with a new wonder cure, maybe for COVID-19, or at a lower level where people work together to redecorate toilets in a church, say. My experience tends to be towards the lower end. And of course, that is just what we're meant to do as a church locally, or even as a church globally. We're meant to work together, to be collaborating with God and with other Christians to fulfill God's purposes in this world. Often we see that as we come together to put on a holiday club. Oh, if only we could. As we support the food bank, as we bring and share food together, as we tidy up these buildings, the church buildings, as we worship together, all those things that we're used to doing together, but haven't done over the last 6 months. Can you believe that? And I miss that. Don't you miss that? Our gathering together, our doing things together, our working together for the kingdom of God. Of course, we continue to do that, and we do it in different ways, even during this season. But coming back into church after summer break, I really miss the fact that here I am again in an empty building. I'm glad that we're together in spirit, but my goodness, it's different. All of this is been put on hold to some degree under the current circumstances, with the consequences of a global pandemic seemingly threatening this open way of life that we've shared for so many years, at least for a time. We have to adjust to new ways of doing things together for this season. I think many of us have felt that we've held on for the last 6 months. We've been quite stoical. We've explored new ways of being church together. But we miss being together, don't we? We're going to continue to look at what we can do about that within the regulations and in keeping people safe, which is very important. The book of Nehemiah addresses this issue, funnily enough, amongst other issues in some way. And I think it's really helpful to look at that this morning as we look out into a new church term. It's a new school term, new university term, all of those things at this time. And you know, the book of Nehemiah is as much a wake-up call for the church today as it was for the exiled people of God all those years ago. It's a bit of history. The first half of the book of Nehemiah, chapters 1 to 7, well, that's devoted to almost entirely to Nehemiah's work of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem in the 5th century BC, before Christ. Almost a century after the city, and indeed the southern kingdom of Judah, had fallen to the conquests of Babylon, the dominant world power of the day. That was in 587 BC. This section should be read not only with the rest of Nehemiah, but also with the book of Ezra as a single whole. The two books were in fact one until relatively recently, when they were innovatively divided into two by the Christian church. Well, I know it was hundreds of years ago, but in the big scheme of things, it was relatively recent. Together, they not only chronicle the social, political history of the people of God during that time, but they recount the spiritual journey and the religious reforms that occurred during this period. Most importantly, the people of God came to realize that no matter how rebellious they had been, how disloyal, how unfaithful their allegiance to God, he had not finished with them. Quite the opposite. He'd gone to enormous trouble to catch their attention, to draw them back to him, and now he set them a task to do together. A task that would bring honor and glory to his name, but also test their obedience to his will and purposes for them. They were to rebuild the desolated temple of Jerusalem, the capital of the former southern kingdom of Judah. As we pick up the story, we're treated to what others have termed a dull list of jobs. It's a bit like reading out a list of church rotas, not something that would keep you awake at night. This list of those engaged in the rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem looks back from the standpoint of a completed task. This is what people had done. They completed their tasks, a point which, strictly speaking, isn't reached in the narrative until chapter 6, verse 15. So it's kind of a little bit anachronistic, but it's a look forward and a look back. It moves section by section round the walls in an anti-clockwise direction from and to the sheep gate in the northeastern corner of the city. The overall picture to emerge is helpful. It demonstrates first a unity of intention by the people, some 40 sections apparently working simultaneously together to achieve that goal. This is all the more remarkable because the interests and the motives of those involved differed considerably. Some worked on the basis of family association. Families worked together. Others worked as individuals. Some as district associations. Some on the basis of their position in society. And yet others because of their professional association. So they grouped in with like-minded people, with homogeneous groups, if you like, and they worked together, and they all worked together. In many cases, the people were employed at the point in the wall where they had a vested interest. So they were interested. They wanted that section completed for a good reason that affected them. All of this serves as a useful illustration of the unity and the diversity which should characterize the work of the church. You see, we all have our own points of interest. Some it's going to be the music, some it's going to be prayer, some it's going to be reaching out in evangelism, others it's pastoral care, others it's caring at a deep level for folk. We have different interests. We don't all have to be the same. We're all part of the body. We all contribute according to our interest. If we read Romans chapter 12, verses 2 to 8, it says this. It's quite illuminating. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, use it. If service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching or her teaching, the one who exhorts in their exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So here the Apostle Paul confirms the ongoing call of God on the people of God to use their diverse gifts and skills for God, for his glory, as we obediently serve the God of all, the God of all, the God who brings all grace and mercy, who has given everything to us. In other words, we all have gifts and skills that we can bring to the party. We all have things we can do to serve God, from preaching to making the tea, from decorating to keeping the books, to praying, to helping in children's work or transporting the elderly. Or at this time, we can all pray in some measure. We can all contact another member of the church to check in and check up that all is well. We can still support the food bank. We are a diverse people with diverse abilities and diverse jobs need doing within our life together. And that's great, because there is a place for us all and a job for us all. But it's also challenging to note the varying degrees of involvement here at the walls of Jerusalem. A few refused to participate at all. Verse 5 tells us that. Most appear to have completed the task allocated to them. They did their job, and that was that. But some even managed a second section. We read in verse 30, Hananiah repaired another section, going beyond. As a church, we're no different to that, are we? A few don't get involved, other than to come along or tune in on Sundays. Most do get involved in something, and some do a great deal. The challenge to us all is to ask ourselves if we're doing all that God is asking us to do, because that's what we need to be doing, what God is asking us to do. No more and no less. Are we contributing to the building of the kingdom of God in our generation? There's something that every single one of us can do in that way. Are we doing all that God is asking, or are we just doing the very bare minimum that we can get away with? If so, we're missing out as a community. We're missing out, and you are missing out on the blessing that God has for you as well. And there are times when it might be right to ask if you're doing too much, to the detriment of your health, to the detriment of your family, and ultimately the body of the church. This can be a real issue in our churches, often founded on the fact that it's a few people doing everything. That's a usual pattern, I'm afraid. And so some people get burnt out while others are disengaged. So let's be honest with ourselves before God and let Him guide us in this. Let's bring it to God and listen to His voice as we rededicate ourselves this September in His service, wherever we find ourselves, whatever our circumstances. Let's do what God asks us to do. But more than that, let's do it together. God wants us to work together. And in that way, as a community, we will be blessed and we will be a blessing to many others. I pray that that's what we'll be able to do as we move forward this month, next month, towards the end of this calendar year. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you that you have placed us in a community, the community of this church. Whether we're far off geographically, whether we're close geographically, at this time we can all be part of this family. Lord, help us to play our part, whether it's to pray, whether it's to record a short video, whether it's to be involved in reading or to be involved in the food bank or caring for others in our midst. Help us, Lord, to do all of that diligently as we serve you, but also with open hearts as we seek you for what it is you want us to be doing in this strange and difficult time in our community. Lord, be with us and guide us, we pray. in Jesus' name.